It's time for Mac Break Weekly. Apple leaks the leak memo. Andy Iannacco, Renee Ritchie, and I will talk about that. What's new for the Apple Watch, the new Drafts 5, a whole lot more coming up next. Mac Break Weekly. Stay tuned.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Mac Break Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Mac Break Weekly, episode 606, recorded Tuesday, April 17th, 2018. You've been played. Mac Break Weekly is brought to you by WordPress. Reach more customers when you build your business website on WordPress.com. Plans start at just $4 a month, and you'll get 15% off any new plan purchase at WordPress.com/MacBreak. And by FreshBooks. Join over 10 million people using FreshBooks to painlessly send invoices, track time, and capture expenses. Try it free for 30 days at FreshBooks.com/MacBreak. And by ActiveCampaign. If you have a growing business and you want to acquire more customers, you need ActiveCampaign. Their solution goes beyond marketing automation. Get the right type of message to the right person at the right time. For a free trial, go to ActiveCampaign.com/twit. It's time for Mac Break Weekly, the show where we cover the latest Apple news. And it's the home team back in position. I like it. Renee Ritchie's at iMore.com, back in his home base. Great to see you.
I'm not traveling. It's a miracle.
Yeah, I think you like to travel.
This business, Leo. I was in three sites in three cities in 3 weeks, and I had 2 days' notice for a week's notice for one, but 2 days' notice for the other one.
That's because you cover Apple, my friend. They don't plan ahead.
No, we can talk about that on a.
It's got to be frustrating because they know they're going to release a red iPhone, and there's no reason why they don't know that it's going to happen on April whatever.
With Samsung, they would tell you 2 weeks in advance. They'd fly you out a week in advance and let you do everything you wanted. And then when they had their event, you'd put your stuff up at the same time of the event. So the biggest problem was, who do you watch first?
Right. Yeah. Well, you know what? You chose it, baby.
I know.
You chose your beat.
It's better than the BlackBerry beat right now.
Yeah. True, true, true. Andy Iannacco is also with us from Iannacco.com. Great to see you. Welcome.
Hello.
Andy and I have been holding down the fort while Renee's been jet-setting around the world. A little tip for those of you in the United States trying to file your taxes last minute. The IRS digital data system is mostly down.
Huh.
It has failed for reasons unknown, and the agency's been attempting to solve the problem for nearly 8 hours with little success. This is not good.
Why are all these people suddenly using it? We weren't planning on this. This is a spike usage.
I have to think that this does not have to do with it. I bet you there's some malefactor afoot, right? Don't you think?
It's terrible.
Not necessarily. I think that
could just be heavy traffic.
Also, given the downsizing of government that's been happening over the past couple of years. You know, who needs system administrators? Who needs people who do stress testing? It's just we got a guy, lieutenant governor of Nebraska. He knows all about the AOL. Let's just make him in charge of the computers at the IRS.
I have to think that. Here's the IRS. I would have thought maybe the IRS would have said something like, well, OK, you get an extra day. But no. Note that your tax payment is due, although IRS direct pay may not be available. So. You still got to mail it, I guess. Wow. Yeah. One forgets that you can go to the post office. In fact, many post offices all over the land make this a special day. They stay open late. They offer donuts and coffee as you drive by, throw your tax return out the window as you whiz by. So take advantage of this and get to know your local mail carrier.
We had a good weekend. It was a good weekend for people who didn't have a chance to win the Boston Marathon to totally win the Boston Marathon.
Is that not awesome? Wow.
That was, it's, hey, all it takes is like 34 degree weather, freezing rain, sleet, and headwinds to make a lot of elite runners simply say,
you can
keep your appearance fee. I really feel like I'm going to die right now.
Did the elite runners just not run, or did this just not make good times?
No, there's a big list of like elite runners who are just DNF. Like they started, but they just, at some point they said,
we're not going
to
do it.
I'm out.
Yeah.
And which is not to denigrate the people who won. But these are typically people who are good at like consistently really, really fast races, as opposed to once or twice being able to do like a 208, 207, to whatever the winning time is. But it's exciting to see people who are surprised and overjoyed to find out that they've actually won money. I was reading an article today about how someone is planning to go back to work on Wednesday, did not know that they have won $25,000. There's one person who landed in the money, but the problem is they don't know whether fifth place went to an elite runner. So that's a runner that actually has like their name instead of a number, or a regular qualifier who has like an 18 digit number. The difference being that the elite runner got to start like in a special pack. The other runner had to start like in the huge scrum of general people. And they kind of both came in fifth, depending on how you look at it. So they're trying to figure out how to settle that one because it's just never come up before. It just shows you why like the Boston Marathon is one of these international elite, wonderful, wonderful events that it's a dream for a lot of people, and a lot of people's extra dreams came true on Monday. It was inspiring to watch.
I'm not a marathoner, but I went outside this morning and this is what the pavement looked like, which is basically pure ice. So I very quickly went back inside.
I'm so glad I live in California. That's all I can.
And this was so funny. I looked out my window and there's half a boat. There's just half a boat like in the water. And I don't know if it blew away and then half sunk or got frozen I'm not sure.
So the Mark Gurman rumor du jour. The man has not stopped.
Is this a leak about leaks? Is that the one we're talking about?
You want to do that one first? Let's do that one first. The leak.
That is so meta. It's like leaks all the way down.
So Apple put out a memo to its employees saying stop leaking. And in fact, pointed out that 29 leakers were caught last year. And of them, 12 were arrested. They also said, and this is a shot right at journalism, that even though bloggers and journalists will be reaching out in many cases. Let me read the actual paragraph, because by the way, this memo was leaked immediately.
Yes.
In many cases, leakers don't set out to leak. Instead, people who work for Apple are often targeted by press, analysts, and bloggers who befriend them on professional and social networks like LinkedIn, Twitter, and Facebook and begin to pry for information. While it may seem flattering to be approached, it's important to remember you're getting played.
Bum, 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 bum.
Just turn like your back on friendship and love. Remember, Apple is your only true family.
You're getting played. And by the way, if just in case you needed any more reinforcement, you could go to jail. You could even be charged with a felony. The way this works, again, another paragraph, leakers do not simply lose their jobs at Apple. Oh, no, my friend. In some cases, they face jail time and massive fines for network intrusion and theft of trade secrets, both classified as federal crimes. 12 were arrested. It doesn't say if the 12 were arrested, got to go home an hour later or are still in jail. Among those Apple employees, contractors, some partners in Apple supply chain, these people not only lose their jobs, they can face extreme difficulty finding employment elsewhere. This is the genteel version of you'll never work in this town again.
Nice career. It'd be a shame if something happened to it.
Remember, here at Apple, you're like family, but like many family members, we're also vengeful.
Okay, what do you guys think?
I mean, there's so much. Like, Gruber pointed this out right away. Is that like the leaks that they mentioned specifically are all the Mark Gurman leaks, who then leaks the memo about the leaks that were leaked to him.
Well, they have to be aware of that kind of irony. It's not impossible to send out something like this. But nonetheless, it does point out that either they are legitimately getting dinged a lot left and right, at least a lot more than they used to, or they at least want to create the impression that they're getting dinged left and right. So that's I don't know how many iterations that text went through, though, that it is kind of dramatic to say that, remember, they're playing you. They're trying. I'm sure that many people are. But it's also true that there is in every I've had relationships with people at so many different companies since way before they were working at those companies. And sometimes when I'm in San Francisco, we're just hanging out as friends, and it's hard to, and there's always that little dance that we have to do where I have to say, so how are things going? And then preface it by saying, I don't mean with your actual professional work that you're not allowed to talk to me about. I mean, like, I know that we're buying a boat and we had some problems with it. I really want to know about the boat, not the secret project that we both know that you're on. It's difficult. It has to be said from anyone, but I don't know how to solve that.
I have like a couple thoughts on this. One is that like there's different kinds of leaks to me. Like a lot of the leaks that Apple experiences are leaks about products, which is sort of like the end of the next Star Wars movie gets leaked, or Avengers Infinity Wars gets leaked, and people report on it, and that's fine. I mean, like, it can ruin the surprise for people.
They
and
should
I think
call them spoilers. If they call them spoilers, yeah. Nobody would get upset about it, right?
Well, that's the thing. But I think like if you go and read the spoiler and then go to the movie and write that the movie was boring, you're a jerk because you didn't have to read the spoiler. Like, right. So there's that at play. But then there's leaks that show like genuine malfeasance or malpractice or damaging things about a company, and those are super important. And I don't want to like lump them all together. Like if a company is legitimately ripping you off or destroying your data or poisoning you or doing something, then that's
whistleblowing.
Like a super important
that's not
leak.
Spoiler
yeah,
alert.
Totally.
That's whistleblowing. There's the third category of leaks, which I think journalists have a right and an interest in pursuing, which is the kind of leaks that help consumers make product buying decisions. A leak like, you know, the iMac Pro is coming out in a month and a half. You might want to wait to buy that iMac. Those things, I think it's almost our job to pursue those.
It absolutely is. We work for the consumers. We work for the readers. We don't work for Apple. That's why things like access journalism, I think it's sometimes that phrase gets bandied about like fake news. It's a harmful phrase you want to use when you want to delegitimize what someone else is doing. But sometimes some people get too cozy with a company such that they really are part of an extension of the marketing program. And so it's important to know that, you know, that your relationship with Apple, your relationship with Google, anybody is there to get information that will help you tell a better story to a user. And I think I'm sure Renee has been in this situation as well, where you're getting stonewalled. And so, okay, guess what? I now go to address book B of people who have direct knowledge of this stuff and simply ask them if they're willing to talk to me on background on a certain issue, just and with letting them know exactly what I'm looking for and what I'm trying to understand. And Apple also they're big boys and girls. They understand that this is going to happen as well. So it's really, really important that if you're a journalist or a columnist, you have to do your job, no matter what that entails. Sometimes that will entail, again, approaching people who don't have authority to speak about something, but who have information that you and by extension your reader needs. So nothing should – if Apple's perfectly free to tighten controls on their own people, they're certainly free to pursue legal action against people who break certain covenants. But it's our job to find the answers no matter how we can within certain ethical boundaries. But it's our job to find information and not just limit ourselves to what a company is willing to give us.
Might also point out that to the Wall Street Journal reporters, when Apple's executives call you on the record, off the record for deep background to give you a story, you're being played. Apple does it the other way too.
Yeah,
I mean, well, both. Yes. There's like you can background on both. Like if you hear a story, I will often check around to see if it's legitimate. And sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's someone with an axe to grind, and then maybe you can see their point of view, but it's really not
a bigger picture.
You're saying Apple uses leaks to its own, on its own behalf sometimes.
Well, no, yeah, no, and sometimes it'll be like to set expectations. It's like, yeah, a lot of people are expecting that new Mac Pro at WWDC, and that's probably not going to happen.
Yes, exactly. You know, so, in fact, Jason Heiner from Tech Republic and Lindsay Turrentine were on Twit from both editors-in-chief of Tech Republic and CNET, and Lindsay said, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Apple leaked this memo to Mark Gurman. Oh.
I think it's way more rare than people think it is. And to Mark, I don't think that would.
Yeah, they probably wouldn't give it to Mark. They'd give it to somebody else.
An email that's sent out to all hands. Okay, I think that at some point someone is going to forward something to somebody or at least hold up an iPhone to somebody they're having lunch or breakfast with and see what they have, see what they think about it.
Yeah.
But I also don't doubt that sometimes Apple uses leaks to get information out that they then don't have to stand by later on. So there is it's part of the game. It's just part of the game.
Yeah. But I would like out of all the companies I've worked with, I think Apple, I've seen that the absolute least. Like I could probably count on half the fingers of a hand sometimes when I thought they would do that. And other companies do it all the time. It's because I think their culture is so culturally it's secrecy. Like surprise and delight is so much their mantra that they would rather just not say anything, even when it would help them. There are a lot of cases where it would absolutely help them to get ahead of a story, whether it's on background or on the record, and they just don't do it. And it's so frustrating.
It's
so
absolutely go ahead, finish.
No, the second thing I was going to say is there's also a difference. Like in the cases where people have been arrested and prosecuted for leaks, it's when they did it in exchange for money, which is a very different thing than just talking to a journalist. If you either offer to buy and or sell internal information, it is very different than just the typical journalistic practices that go on.
I wish actually Apple had been more explicit with details about these 12 who got arrested. Were they prosecuted? Did they face jail time? What were their crimes? And I hope some journalist will actually do some work and find out because – to be honest, that's a little scary. It's absolutely Apple's right to fire people. And the only reason I say it's scary is because Apple is, well, I think of the Gizmodo case where the iPhone 4 was left in a bar. Somebody found it, sold it to Gizmodo, Brian Lamb. And Apple was not at all hesitant to use the Silicon Valley task force to come to Lamb's house, take every bit of electronic equipment he had to effectively punish him. And so I think that Apple, especially in Cupertino, law enforcement is, you know, tips the hat to Apple. And I would hope that they don't misuse law enforcement in an over-aggressive attempt to prevent leaks. That's all I'm saying.
I would assume that when they're talking about people who leaked information and were arrested or were made to feel the punishment, feel the influence of actual law enforcement about it, we're probably talking about people who were paid by industry analysts or paid by people who are consulting for
other companies. It doesn't say that.
I'm saying that's my assumption. And as for that other thing, yeah, that was there is definitely a difference between the friendly people. If you ever visit the Apple campus, there's a difference between the friendly people in like the colorful Apple polo shirts and T-shirts and the people with the men with the high and tight haircuts and the black golf shirts that sometimes will show up if they think you're doing something that they don't understand what you're doing. I've had like taking pictures of toy cows in front of the campus, let's say. That's just one example of they do have a very, very serious security force. They do take this stuff very, very seriously. It's a face you do not see, but it's something that they can unleash if they feel as though it is necessary for them to do so. And they're going to have, and if they ever do that improperly, then they're going to have to face consequences for it. But when it comes to calling the cops, I don't think that they would call the cops on somebody who simply told leaked the date of the red phone to some blogger that they went to school with and they're good friends with and they play games with. I think that would be something where Apple themselves are going to be facing huge consequences if that information were to get out. And that's why it becomes an actual legal matter.
No, and there's a range too. Like there's civil remedies for people who break NDAs. Those typically have, you know, fines and things imposed on it. That's not, at least, you know, I'm not a lawyer, but that's different than a police matter or an actual crime has been committed. And also Apple's traditionally been really good about things like that guy who left the phone in the bar. It was an accident. It wasn't a mistake. He was working for Apple for years after that.
He didn't get fired.
And there have been people.
Right.
No, and there are people who accidentally have like put a file where it shouldn't have been filed, and they didn't get fired. If people tried to cover it up, maybe they got fired. Or if people, you know, deliberately gave stuff away, they've been fired. But in terms of an accident, Apple historically has gone bent over backwards to try to help you fix it. It's when they believe that you're working counter to the best interests of your team and the company that they engage. What okay. Andy just described.
Technically, Gizmodo was trading in stolen property.
There was a crime there. Yeah,
that was the thing that always makes me think that was a really, really bad moment for Gizmodo, because there are ways that they could have had access to that without compromising, without leaving themselves legally vulnerable, and I think
maybe I'm wrong, but none of us here would have paid for that stolen phone.
Absolutely not. I was in a similar-ish situation where this is why you have a lawyer on that someone that you can. I'm not joking. This is why you have someone you can call for advice.
Yeah.
Where there's something, I won't get into any details or even refer to the company, but there was something very, very interesting that I was offered a chance to look at that wasn't being approved by the company, and it was big enough that it might have been important for users to know about this. And the solution, it was very, very similar, was somebody may or may not have had the right to take this thing out of the campus to show it to me. And so you can easily insulate yourself by, no, you're not going to pay someone $5,000 for this, whatever it is. You are going to say, I'm going to pay you a $5,000 consulting fee to meet me in a hotel room where we will videotape everything, and you will let me examine this. And then I'm not taking possession of it. It's not mine. I'm just a journalist who is paying you a fee to do something.
Would you have any scruples if they offered it to you for free?
To give it to me for free?
Yeah, no, Andy, I found this iPhone 9 on the bar. Would you like it?
That's a call to a lawyer. Because this is still a lost piece of property.
Yeah.
Something that's vaguely similar. I think that I would be, my first thing, what I would have to contact the person who I think owns it and say, hey, I have this thing that you own. Then there would be since we're talking about a hypothetical with Apple, I would then say, I have it and I'm taking pictures of it and I have the right to absolutely do whatever I want with this because I require this thing absolutely legally. And I could, if it were in the best interest of the users, use that to trade for better information that they could control at a later date. Again, it would depend on what I needed from them. And if it were just, this is literally, clearly an iPhone 9, when I turned it on just to see if there was a phone number I could call to see who owns it, it looked like there was absolutely nothing different about it. There's nothing unusual. Again, what's in the best interest of the readers? But again, in terms of legally, this is not my phone. I cannot take possession of it. It is my responsibility as to... If I find something to say, I believe you own this, I want to return this to you.
Recently, there have been a number of cases where people have used hacked emails to write articles and stories. Emails not, gained legally, but handed over to them for free. And I would really have to think long and hard before I would do this. What about you, Renee? Does iMore have a policy?
I don't know that we've ever been in that situation. I mean, for me, a lot of the stuff with Apple is easy because every year there's going to be a new iPhone. It's going to be extraordinary if there wasn't.
Right.
So just knowing that there's going to be another iPhone to me is not particularly newsworthy. I'll do everything to say, you probably shouldn't buy an iPhone between June and September, no matter what the news cycle is, because that's just traditionally when it happens. But I have a huge fear factor in terms of dealing with anything that might come from stolen, stolen property. And also, I had a great conversation with Jim Dalrymple about this. He's like, I don't know if I ever want to have the personal responsibility for getting someone fired. Like, they're all grown human beings, and they can make those choices. But
Mark downplayed the fact that the guy who leaked the meeting information got fired to Mark Gurman got fired. He didn't really.
And for me particularly, Apple has hired several people that I worked closely with for years, and they all work at Apple now. And even though I never talked to them about this thing, I don't want to cast suspicion upon anybody that I might know in the company. So I try to I think there's Apple is a logical enough company. They do things in a predictable enough manner that I can have whole swaths of coverage done without me compromising anybody to do it.
Yeah. Everybody has to make that choice. And it's not merely the law. It's also the ethics and what you're what your moral code dictates.
Yeah. And also, I'm not like Mark's a beat reporter. I'm not. I have the luxury of not being a beat
reporter.
That's
true too.
I'm a commentator. You know, yeah. I'm a commentator and an analyst. I don't have to do that for a living. So I'm not going to judge anybody who does do it. I'm just thankful I don't have to.
Well, and I think to some degree, all three of us and most of the people on the Twit Network chose to be a little bit in the back seat for that very reason. I don't want to be out there on the pavement trying to get somebody to leak and get, you know, the inside. That's not my bag, man. I'd much rather let Mark do all the hard work and comment on it after the
fact.
And
he's good at it. I mean,
he's good at it. Yeah. All props to him. Although I'm under.
I mean, he looks so young and innocent and sweet, and then he just gets all the stories.
That's part of it, isn't it? He's. But do you think he feels guilt when an employee loses his job because they leaked to him? Probably not. I mean, the guy knew what he was doing.
I can't speak for Mark. I can speak for myself and say that I wouldn't feel terribly guilty because what I do when I use those kinds of sources, I basically it's almost like I'm almost like the devil putting a contract in front of you and a pen saying, here are the terms of this that I'm going to I'm asking for information that I'm going to use on background because I want to understand how this particular technology works. I won't quote you. I won't even say that in this hypothetical case, I don't even need to say I talked to someone in this position at this company to get this information. I just want to make sure that I understand what's happening and official channels are not telling me how this thing works. And essentially making sure that this person knows fully well what they're doing. This isn't there have been times where I have stopped somebody like I'm at WWDC or something, and we're just hanging out and someone is telling me something and I have to stop them and say, we're having lunch here. Realize that anything you say to me could conceivably be used to develop a story in the future. So don't tell me something unless you tell me in advance that I can't share this information. I have to basically blacklist this entire conversation.
It's also an interesting point, in which Gruber points out that it's very possible that every single leak mentioned in this memo was a leak to Mark Gurman. It almost seems certain. And he says it seems possible every single specific example, this is John Gruber writing, cited by Apple in this memo was someone leaking to Mark Gurman, makes you wonder who had the balls to send this memo to him. We'll be getting into inception territory if the leaker of the memo on leakers getting fired for leaking to Gurman gets fired for leaking it to Gurman. you know, it feels a little heavy-handed, to be honest, especially the part about getting arrested. It's really clear that the point of the memo is we will catch you, and you will not only lose your job, you'll risk going to jail. That is pretty draconian. Well,
sometimes people aren't that sophisticated, and they're pretty young. They don't understand that when you tell people things, it stops becoming a secret. They don't feel as though they're leaking something, but nonetheless, they're the source of pieces of private information getting out there. They also don't understand that, again, like if someone that they've been reading or listening to for a long, long time, you know, bumps into them at WWDC and says, "Hey, you work on the Heligyro project. I've been really, really curious about that. Let's go out to lunch and I'll take out to lunch. And that must be really, really cool, the stuff you're doing." And that this young engineer, he or she thinks that they're just excited about the project and they're just getting information. There's an element
played.
Of that. So at some point you have to tell a teenager that you have to shower and wear deodorant. It's not shower or wear deodorant. you can't assume that it's at any point they've all learned this sort of stuff. So at some point, sometimes you have to say, oh, okay, I guess we do have to tell people that we wear things on our feet inside the office for a reason. And no, you're not going to be walking barefoot through campus all day long unless you answer directly to Tim, in which case Tim will say, what the hell is wrong with you, man?
Well, I think the black polo shirted guys from Apple might be visiting the FCC sometime soon, because apparently the FCC has published photos of a gold iPhone 10 that's unreleased, a gold finish on the iPhone 10, but I guess it was submitted to the FCC, even though it says Apple proprietary and confidential on the images. Submitted to the FCC for testing, and the FCC seems to have published these photos. Probably part of their normal process, I would guess. But
Well, we saw something similar to that with Google, which looks like they're going to be introducing an Android TV dongle soon. And they all the paperwork was FCC did essentially what they were supposed to do, which is to do what the company tells them to. There was not a document attached to the package of FCC approval stuff that said, oh, by the way, the following elements of this package are confidential and should not be.
I don't think you can do that. I think that's one of the reasons Steve Jobs announced the iPhone 6 yeah. months before it was released, because I think that they want to announce it before they send it to the FCC for approval.
So if you don't release something, can you go take it? We're not releasing this. We want it back. We want to give us everything back.
Give it back. It's pretty. I don't know when it'll be out. Yeah. It is from FCC filing BCG3E3161A. I mean, it's legit. And even though it says Apple proprietary and confidential, this it comes
they didn't. I think this was submitted along with the black and the silver one, and it just didn't come out.
Right.
And I don't know if that's going to change, but
right. So I think that's good for if somebody says, boy, if only they'd make a gold iPhone 10, but I guess they're not, so I'll buy a black one. Saw this, they'd go, oh, good, I'll be waiting. You know, this is
maybe a long time.
Well, that's the problem. You know, you don't know, right?
Yeah.
I have to.
And there's no product red black. There's no product red iPhone 10 either.
Why is that, do you think?
So you can anodize. So I went and looked. You can anodize the aluminum that they use for the iPhone 8 and 8 Plus fairly easily. Apple's gotten really good at getting the color they want. But you can't anodize stainless steel. You have to use vapor deposition, which is what they use for DLC, like on the Apple Watch, yeah. and what they use for the black coating on the stainless steel antenna band on the iPhone 10. And the reds that I saw for companies that do this do not look anything like product red. They're very metallic, brownish red. And I think it's the same reason why even on the product red iPhone 8 and 7, the screws and the inside of the lightning port are still metallic color. They're not red. It's just that it doesn't produce the red that Apple wants. And if they can't get like the proper product red, they're just not going to do it.
That makes sense. Do you think they might release a reddish iPhone 10?
I don't know. Like some people say, just give us the glass, because you can obviously do the glass and leave the band silver
right.
or black or something.
Right.
But,
glass would be
easy.
They
want all red or nothing.
This gold iPhone has a gold band though around it, but that's easier, I guess, in stainless steel than red.
Gold is the easiest, and I know very little about this, but gold is apparently the easiest color, because all you do is you put iron in the process or something.
Right. I love Serenity's review of the new iPad. She did it all
so good
on an iPad, and they filmed it, and I guess you worked with her on this. So that's
no. I said, you're going to do what? That's amazing. What can I do to give you all the time in the world necessary to finish this?
That's a good editor, right?
Yeah.
The new iPad review is here.
Even the music. She composed the music in GarageBand.
Let's hear the music here. That's her music?
Yeah.
Nice. Aw. I love her pictures of herself.
And she's got a Steve Jobs sketch in there that's just amazing, too.
Oh, really?
Computers can radically revolutionize the education.
That's Baby Serenity.
Around the world.
Is it really? That was her?
Yeah, that was her.
That's so cool.
Mac. It was a smart idea. She took screenshots and then screen recorded her annotating the screenshots.
Yeah, so this is what, an iMovie or something?
We have many
something?
Views of what a computer is. My particular view is that a computer is...
In a way, this is a great way to review the product, is to use it and to see what you can do with it and to show what you can do with it as she has. Kind of behind the scenes. I think that's great.
Just like a book is a delivery.
And all the different things that I think she used, Procreate and Linea and the Sketch app and the auto annotation.
How long did she take to do this?
I think it took her a week and a half. But that was really heavy.
Oh, remember Glider? I miss Glider.
And looked at it in terms of simple economics rather than the revolutionary.
Well, we know that it's really cool. I can tell that she did it fairly recently because she has the new spring Apple Watch band on. Those were only released last week.
She wanted to see how far, because the whole thing, like, a lot of people are dismissing the iPad in education because it doesn't have the remote device management features or the Google accounts.
Right.
And Serenity's point, I think, is that with Apple Pencil, Apple's creating a think different version of education where it's not the traditional sit behind
a
desk standardized test. But it's really go out and do something and use the camera and use AR and use the pencil and learn. Don't just repeat back testing things, but learn.
Yeah, Well, and I think maybe the best use for it is not in the classroom, but for a smart kid who has some money and some access to high-speed internet to use it to do their thing. right? That's a great sketch of Steve. That is great. Oh, that is neat.
So talented.
Yeah. Damn her. And a great roller skater, right, Andy?
She posted a training video that she was doing where she hip checked somebody who had to leap like 3 feet in the air to try to get out of her way and still did not escape the block. She's multi-talented.
She really is. This is Baby Wren with her original iMac. That's really neat. Highly recommended. Yeah. We won't show the whole thing. I want people to go to imore.com and she actually has a colophon of how she did it, and she talks about all the apps she used, quite a few.
And she's going to do a video showing you how to do videos like this, which I think is awesome.
Oh, neat.
Yeah.
Boy, she has found a new beat for herself, a new niche for herself. Really nice. Good job.
So much fun.
Let's take a break, and then we'll get to the bad news.
Okay.
No, there's no bad news. It's only good news today. Our show today brought to you by WordPress. Hey, if you're an Apple lover, you've got to love WordPress. WordPress.com in particular, because it is the place to make your next website. Go to WordPress.com/MacBreak. We got 15% off for your brand new website. If you go there, wordpress.com/MacBreak, use the offer code MacBreak at checkout. WordPress is used by 30% of all the websites in the world. Okay? The world, including mine, including some of the best publications in the world. WordPress is beloved. Why? Well, a couple of reasons. One, you can focus on your content. You've got the freedom and flexibility to share your voice, your work, your way. You don't have to worry about CSS and HTML and all that stuff. They do that all for you behind the scenes. You pick the template you like, start creating right away. 350 easy use themes for any kind of business or portfolio or blog. And if at any point you have a question, their customer support team is there 24/7 Monday through Friday. They're there on weekends too. It's easy to reach them, and they give great support. I could tell you, because I've used them many times just for fun. As long as they're there, ask them questions. WordPress does have e-commerce, you bet. They've got everything from a simple buy button to a complete online store. And is it affordable? Oh, man. Now, I've run a WordPress site for years. I self-hosted for a long time until I realized it would cost me less to go to WordPress.com, and they do all the technical stuff behind the scenes. Plans start at just $4 a month. Not to mention the fact that when you're on WordPress.com, you're part of a larger community. You can have that WordPress.com follow button on your site, and people follow you. They publish your stuff. They share it on their social networks. It's a great way to really build an audience. WordPress.com. Of course, built-in SEO means you're going to show up on the search engines higher. They also do HTTPS automatically. That's another good reason. And there are lots of plugins. I use the Google AMP plugin so that my site loads super fast on mobile. But that's just one of hundreds available to you. Get your own domain. This is what I would suggest. Get your own domain name. Get your stuff set up and get 15% off WordPress.com/MacBreak on your brand new site, WordPress.com/MacBreak. Love them. Seriously. It's a love thing. The bad news, another Mark Gurman leak. HomePod not selling all that well. Now, he's quoting Slice Intelligence. I don't know. How do you guys feel about Slice? Slice is an app many people use. I use it that tells you when something's on its way. So it mines your email. And so they have some information from some many, many users about how many people are getting HomePods. But I don't know how useful that is.
Wasn't very accurate, it turns out, for Apple Watch.
For me, it's a trust but verify source. I think it's been very accurate on some things. There were times where it didn't scan right to my eyes, and then I asked somebody else and said, "Oh no, that's totally
this
not
to
right.
me is credible." He also did go to store employees and so forth and say, "How's it selling?" And they're saying, "Our inventory is building up. We only sell one or two a day." This kind of makes sense to me. The pre-orders were very hot, But and the thinking was maybe there would be another spike when people could go in the store and hear the HomePod, given how good it sounds.
Yeah. Also, it's not necessarily something that people need. It's something that people have to want. Yeah. So I can imagine it building slowly and just becoming more like a Mac TV than an iPhone or even an AirPod.
This is from Slice Intelligence. Again, consider the source. It's not from Apple or any of the manufacturers. According to Slice, 73% of the speaker market, the smart speaker market, that's the speakers you can talk to, is owned by Amazon's Echo, 14% by Home, 10% by HomePod, which ain't bad considering Home's been out for a while, 2% by the Sonos One, and everything else.
It's particularly impressive given that the Google Home Wedge also includes the $29 Google Mini,
right,
which was practically given away to anybody who bought a book of stamps in December. So that's a pretty good result for Apple, I think.
A lot of people are probably waiting till Siri gets more capable, till they have stereo pairing, till they have multi-room sound, things.
It was said better by analysts who were not me, but you know the way that these things are reported are very convoluted. And I remember back with the iPad, it's like the iPad is doing well, but we're not going to include it in the PC thing. We're not going to include it in the tablet thing. We're going to make a new category called media tablets. And like this thing too is like when Apple, it's natural to assume that this is a home speaker, and that's a perfectly valid thing to do it. But when you put it in a category with a $50 Amazon Echo or a $29 Google Home, it's a very different product than those things. This is a speaker that happens to have Siri control and was always conceptualized and thought about as a speaker that the only way that makes sense to control it is with Siri, which is a very different product than companies who wanted to make a voice-controlled assistant for your house that also happens to be a speaker, because you have to have a speaker to respond. And you can argue that Apple made the wrong product, that you know nobody really wants a high-end speaker that happens to be voice controlled, and that's totally fair. But it was designed from the start, and they've been working on this for 6 years, long before there was an Echo, long before there was a Home, on this product, and it is different in kind from these other things. And I think that's part of, like, there's various ways you can slice this. I forget who it was. Maybe Neil Seibert. Somebody else said it was Benedict Evans. Maybe there's only a market for $50. Like, people don't want to spend more than $50 on a home assistant, and that's the ceiling. And we don't know any of this stuff yet because it's only been out for a few months.
Yeah. I can kind of understand if sales are slow now. And I think that Apple's patient. So...
yes.
It makes sense. I mean, it is now a fairly limited product. There's a lot of competition. You can rave about the sound, as many have, but honestly, it's not so much better than anything else that's out there that it's the kind of thing you beat a path to its door. I think, in fact, many blind tests have said the Google Home Max, which is a little more expensive, might even sound as good or better. So the difference is, of course, the Max is aimed at you and the Home is,
yes,
the HomePod goes all around.
There's another difference is that there are a lot more receptors for microphones. It's a lot easier for it to find you and isolate you when you give it a command compared to the Google Home. But with every Apple product, the thing is, Apple products, for the most part, are only competing against other Apple products.
Right.
It's hard to say that the Apple Watch is competing directly with Android Wear or a fitness watch. It's hard to say that the Apple TV is competing directly with a Roku, because the people who are likely to buy it are the people who are likely to appreciate connectivity to Apple Music or whatever Apple service that they're already using here or there. A Google Home speaker and an Alexa speaker, those are people where they have the opportunity to buy whatever they want, and they can price comparison. They can go for, I think the voice is friendlier on this one instead of the other one. So I believe that the HomePod line is in profit. So I think that's
all.
We don't need to worry. Yeah, we don't need to be setting clothing or
candy. Right. No, and I think what Andy said earlier is very apt too, is that Apple has what they call like legs on their stool, which is like iPhone and iPad and Mac. But they also have these products that support those things, like Apple TV. It may eventually be one. It's still mostly an accessory. AirPods are an accessory. These are things where when you have a product the size of the iPhone and it's very hard to get another 2 billion customers on it, that you create products that increase the value of that product, both for you and for the customer. So if you have an iPhone, you can get AirPods, you can get HomePods, and it makes that iPhone experience better, and in my exchange they give you slightly more money than they would have given you if you just had an iPhone on the market.
Patterson in our chat room characterizes it as a placeholder. Is that fair to say it's a placeholder? It's Apple.
It's a Gen 1. I mean, iPhone Gen 1 wasn't great. iPad Gen 1 wasn't great. Apple Watch Gen 1 wasn't. They were all limited, but, you know, and Apple Watch didn't even have a good vision at first, and now it's a stellar product. So, right. I mean, it's so early.
Right. It's also, the other guys are advertising directly against the HomePod. I think it was Sonos ad that said, and these are all the services you can use with us. And Apple's HomePod basically is an Apple Music device. So it's limited by that alone, really. I mean, you know, you're not going to buy it unless you're an Apple Music subscriber. Not that there aren't 30 million of those, but, you know.
Yeah, but not all of them are in the position of – not all of them understand the idea of I want to spend as much as $350 on a grapefruit-sized speaker that is in one room. Yeah,
my kids are Apple Music subscribers. There's no way they would buy a HomePod.
Yeah. It's going to be more interesting to look at these numbers a year from now when they add features like multi-room, when they add support, when they turn on a Bluetooth, or when they do some way to make it do more than what it did out of the box on day one. I'm going through that right now with my Google Home stuff, where as soon as I realize that when I see a sale on like the regular Google Home, I realize that, oh, well, it'd be nice to like extend like the multi-room reach. When I'm doing just things that are going to be taking me throughout the entire house, it's nice to be able to have this podcast going everywhere at once, or this music going everywhere at once. And then you like it sort of justifies and leverages the expense of the $400 speaker later on, or the second $400 speaker later on. Whereas it took me a while to add my second Amazon Echo, because when it first came out, it just did this one thing. It wasn't ubiquitous. So Apple is still, it's just like the Apple Watch, in that Apple realizes that if they get the hardware right, they can always build software and services later on. Just like my original Apple Watch, which was a very, very, I think a very, very sad and not well thought out product when it first released. All they had to do was a couple of years later figure out that, okay, let's stop the demo of opening a garage door and watching the video of your garage door opening on your watch. Let's leverage this as a fitness device, a fitness device, a fitness device. And so the hardware was still very, very good. I still have the generation watch. And now it is just like I paid $200 for a brand new thing. That's the same thing I think is going to happen with HomePod. And that's when people are really going to come for it.
The other way it's like the Apple Watch, at least for me, it was once the Apple Watch had a killer app that I really wanted, that made put it over the top. And, for the watch, it was Drafts. And I just found out, I didn't even know this, that Drafts, and I had turned this on, but I didn't really realize it. Drafts will look at Apple Reminders, and if there's a Drafts list on Apple Reminders, it'll import it into Drafts, which means I can now use my HomePod to remind me or to do things or to add to my Drafts, which makes it actually like 100 times more useful, because I can say, Shlomo, remind me to add toothpaste to my Drafts list. And when it does that, it will automatically import into Drafts, and now I can put it in places that I really care about. And so that's huge. So it's little things like that that can put you over the top with something. Speaking of Drafts, has he told you when he's going to put out Drafts 5? I pre-ordered immediately, of course.
I can't comment. I can neither confirm nor deny that I know the date, but I can confirm that it's awesome.
We're talking about Agile Tortoise's really great app that I discovered from Renee's Vector podcast with Merlin Mann. And what's the guy who wrote it? What's his?
Oh, yeah, Greg Pierce.
Greg Pierce, that's it. And I heard Greg and Merlin and Renee talking about it, and I immediately used it. And it's kind of a weird app that just like is so hideously useful that, but you have to figure it out first. And I guess what he's going to do, this is currently fourth generation, and he's going to keep this one going, but he's now going to have a subscription-based fifth generation that will do, I don't know, more stuff. I don't care. I'm giving him my money. And then he hinted, and you probably know the answer to this too, that one of the things he's going to do with his subscription money is make a Mac app, a Mac OS app, which is all that's missing, frankly, from Drafts, is the ability to use Mac OS. And I'm very interested in Drafts 5's new programming capabilities, because you can, I guess it has more ability to create your own actions and things like that.
Just Drafts everywhere and do everything, I think, is the motto.
Renee's avoiding any. I'd be a terrible guy to get somebody to leak. I need to buy you a drink, Renee. we'll talk later.
That's not mine. I mean, I'm happy to tell you anything that's about me.
No, no, no. Of course. No, you're absolutely right. Absolutely.
You know, Renee, my wife has a condo in the San Francisco area that she usually rents it out for just $50 a night anytime that you're in San Francisco rather than $8,000.
We could arrange. You could be staying in my hotel every time you come to Washington.
I'm not going
to
be showing up in any Jimmy Kimmel monologue anytime soon.
Anyway, absolutely worth getting Drafts 4, but keep your eye peeled because I pre-ordered it immediately. Drafts 5 is coming out at some point. Must be fairly soon or he wouldn't have a pre-order up on the Apple Store. And that is a very, very useful thing with your HomePod and everything else. The fact that I can now dictate reminder, not just, it's hard to explain what you do with Drafts, but it captures text. And you can do it with your keyboard, but I've always used the voice stuff, and especially on the Apple Watch, I have a Drafts complication on the watch, and I can just say, hey, I told Renee I was going to give him something, don't let me forget. And then that, at the end of the day, I could process all of those into varieties of different things. Yeah. The fact that I can now do that to my HomePod is huge. It's huge. Speaking of features that put it over the top, Audible, a sponsor, now works with Sonos. Now, they did for a while, and they took that feature out. It's been missing for a couple of years, but I can now, when I'm on my Audible app, send it to my Sonos, which means I can have my book reading to me everywhere in the house, and Sonos itself ties into your Audible account. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! I was listening to Ready Player One really loud throughout the entire house yesterday. Driving everybody crazy. Another sponsor I'll mention, Texture, which is the magazine subscription service that Apple purchased. Apple is now starting to make some moves, according to Gurman. I didn't know this, but he says that they fired about 20 people from the Texture staff soon after the acquisition. And the plan is to launch a news subscription service. Again, this is a Gurman leak or rumor, not necessarily anything announced by Apple. Kind of underscores Apple's clear goal now to be a content company, which is fairly new for Apple.
Eddie Q did say that, like, right away when he announced it at South by Southwest. He said, we acquired Texture. And then the interviewer said, you're going to integrate this into Apple News. And Eddie just said, yeah. And I never knew for sure if that's what they were really going to do or just the phrasing of the question was awkward. And Apple's like, we haven't made any firm decisions yet. But it sounds like that was the plan all along. And again, it's one of those things where you've got a market that's so mature with iPhone and it's so mature with Mac and iPad. What can you do to add value to those devices, but also increase the amount of money that you can take from every customer because there's very few customers left. And Apple Music is one of those things, $10 a month, and you get unlimited access to music. For $10 a month, you could get unlimited access to magazines. And I got one for my mom over the holidays, and she loves it. She didn't think she would like it at all, and she loves it. And I've been using it, and it's great. And it's one of those things where people – it's the same Steve Jobs thing where if you make the song cheap enough and easy enough to get, people don't even bother looking on the web for the free version or trying to pirate it. And yeah, you can get a lot of the stuff. Like if you want to go to YouTube, you can get the music. Or if you want to scour the internet and go from site to site and wait a while, you can get all the articles. But just having them there all the time, immediately accessible, is such a great service that I think there's a percentage of people that'll pay for it. And that further bolsters Apple's subscription business.
Yeah, they currently, Texture is $9.99 a month, which is, I think, a good price for 200 plus magazines. Yeah. But Apple could say, hey, we'll make it. Actually, they didn't lower the cost of Beats when they turned it into Apple Music, did they? It was still the same price.
I think that they tend to hold price and increase value. So, for example, they could fold all the original Apple TV and movie programming into Apple Music, which makes it more valuable, but keep the same price.
Right.
And maybe they could get newspapers interested in the Texture business and then start offering some newspapers as well. And that creates it more valuable.
That seems
the same
more
price.
Likely, doesn't it? Yeah.
It definitely reflects the reality that it's hard to convince consumers that your piece of software, your piece of hardware is uniquely better than lots of other products that are out there. And even Apple is bumping our heads against this problem. They say, if you could only see the side of the fence that you can't see how nicely we painted it, but unfortunately you can't see it. So it comes down to what things that are very, very user-facing can you add that gives value that they can really perceive. So if it really is as simple as, hey, guess what? Apple Music will also includes magazine subscriptions, or Apple News also includes all this content from all these other places that you can't get anywhere else because we're the people who are smart enough to buy that service before anybody else. And I hope it's not a foreshadowing of the need now to maintain subscriptions on three or four different music libraries, because if Apple were to do something as smart as buying Sony Music, just to control who gets access to the Sony Music catalog, and other companies were to do similar things to restrict access to company property that they own, we could be back in that horrible place where, remember when iTunes first started, and you don't know, has this band signed on? Has this music record label signed on? What do I have to subscribe to in order to get access to this album?
God, Beyonce right now, and Tidal.
Yeah.
Up. He updated his website. Drafts coming April 18th.
Okay, good. I don't have to put up with your constant badgering anymore, LaPorte.
Wow, I wonder if he was listening. If I can post this before Relay breaks down under Leo's intense questioning.
To Andy's point, though, like I pay for iCloud data storage subscription. I pay for Apple Music subscription. I do pay for Texture, and I'll be paying for that later. I want an Apple Prime or an Apple Unlimited where I can pay a certain amount and just get everything at this point, because it all adds up after a while.
Yeah.
I really do have to audit, like I'll and I do it through checking out what I've authorized auto pay for. And there are times where I realize that, okay, so I am essentially paying for 21 terabytes of monthly storage from 8 different services, because I keep forgetting that this works well with this service, but can work with Dropbox or can work with Google Drive. Yeah, someone was asking me about like cord cutting. And say, well, how about YouTube TV? And I'm saying things. I have to tell them that, well, it's nice, but now instead of spending like $30 to $50 a month to your cable company, you're spending $40 a month to Google for lots of channels that maybe you don't really have an interest in. They find a way to make sure that it never becomes more convenient and it never becomes less expensive. It just becomes more complicated.
Let's see. This is the bad news I was talking about. There is a box from a company called Grayshift called Gray Key that is designed to unlock iPhones. And apparently law enforcement just loves the Gray Key. Motherboard has the story. It is a relatively cheap tool. It is something that they have to have the iPhone and plug it into. According to Motherboard, it works with iOS 11 on an iPhone 10, and that's a little bit of a shocker. We've known there have been backdoors in older versions of iOS, but this is the current iPhone. Secret Service is planning to buy at least half a dozen Gray Key phone boxes to unlock iPhones. State Department has bought it. Drug Enforcement Administration interested. The FBI interested. Many local police forces, like the Maryland State Police, the Indiana State Police, the Indianapolis Metropolitan Police Department. Actually, the Indianapolis Metro has received quotes from Gray Shift, but not yet bought the Gray Key, according to Motherboard. It's a 4x4 inches box.
One patch and that thing is a paperweight.
Yeah. Right. It's not cheap. $15,000 if you want one that has gives you 300 unlocks and it has an online connection. Or if you're willing to pay twice as much, $30,000, you can get the unlimited version. imagine.
Everyone's using the freeware model. It's like, if you want the good stuff,
freeware.
You got to.
Freeware, Now,
did you see Matthew Green's tweet, Leo?
No, what did he say?
This is his estimate of how fast it is. 4-digit passcode, 13 minutes, worst average, 6 minutes. 6-digit passcode, 22 hours, worst average, 11 hours. 8-digit passcode, 92 days, worst, 46 days average. 10-digit, 1,000 days, worst, about 5,000 days on average. Sorry, 10,000 days, worst, about 5,000 days on average.
That's why I have a 17-character passphrase on my iPhone now. So we believe it's a brute force device, that it doesn't have any secret back door. It just brute forces.
They're somehow stopping the SEP from counting the amount of times that it's done enforcing the delays and then doing the deletion after 10 attempts.
Right.
Yeah. See, this is why I'm with Renee. Like, the success of this box is predicated on Apple's inability to raise $15,000 to buy one of their own. Because as soon as they see how it works, boom, it just stops working. And even so, there is no magic CCAM astronomy backdoor password to unlock a phone. It really is has to be one of these brute force things. And that's easily negated by someone being very willing to inconvenience themselves once every 2 days by typing in a 12-digit password.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you're really worried about this, have a longer password. I have a 17 alphanumeric. That's a pain in the butt. But fortunately, I don't have to use it very often thanks to Face ID. What did he say? That would be a long time to brute force.
Yeah, what's the entropy level of the universe again?
A long time. In fact, you might make the case that this gray key thing is really hype. That's taking money out of law enforcement's pockets more than.
And the other thing is, I mean, like you can contest the legality of those kinds of brute force attacks, but all the ability for law enforcement to put your finger on a device out in the field or to hold it up. I mean, there are lots of ways to get into a device, and this is just one of several that should concern us.
Yeah, it also underscores why it's important to understand things like the difference between an officer saying, "I need to see your phone," and "I order you to give me your phone," because it's a change of language. If they say, "I need to see your phone," that is you're thinking that they're saying, because you are required at this juncture to give it to me, and I can arrest you if you don't. Whereas from their point of view, if when they hand it to you, they've just ticked off the box where the suspect volunteered his phone when I asked to examine it. You don't know that he's going to take it back to the car, plug it into a box, or give it back to you in a day or two. But that could be what happens. It's something we're all going to have to be very, very aware of. That's why I'm like you, Leo. Last year, I switched from swipe passwords and like 4 to 6-digit passwords to now alphanumerics that are very long. Yeah. That are a pain in the butt. When I unexpectedly, when I'm like at the grocery checkout, and I don't know why my phone wants to, I think I'm just going to trap my phone on the pad and be paying instead of having to type in like this long password. But that's way that's going to pay back whenever I feel as though someone has my phone who should not, and they feel as though they're not going to try to figure out 17 months to crack this password.
Our show today brought to you by FreshBooks. Boy, was that a revelation when I found FreshBooks some years ago. Now, by the way, since I started using it in 2004, 10 million people use FreshBooks to send invoices, to track time, to capture expenses. Really, it is essentially easy-to-use cloud accounting software for small business owners. FreshBooks starts by making it easy for you to make invoices. You'll get paid faster, in fact, on average, twice as fast, because those invoices mean you can accept credit cards. You don't have to apply for a merchant account. That's all part of the FreshBooks deal. You can accept credit card payments directly from your invoice, see which invoices have been sent, viewed, and paid, see which invoices are overdue, outstanding invoice totals. That means you will always know what your accounts receivable, what your accounts payable are. And because you can use the QuickBooks app to take pictures of receipts and get expenses into your invoices or just track them, you'll always know what your expenses are. Let me think here. Income minus expenses equals profit. You'll always know whether you're making money with FreshBooks. That's huge for small businesses. Often it's not until tax time that we know, did we do okay? They're always improving FreshBooks too. They've added proposals, which means you can make a proposal to a new client with rich text content, images, customizable sections. You can bill for time, and they keep track of hours. Then you can bill for time by client, but even have different prices for different projects. FreshBooks recently added Spanish, Dutch, German, and Portuguese as options for invoices, estimates, and proposals. And the invoices have always handled every kind of currency seamlessly. I really like that because I was invoicing Canada and I needed to put it in Canadian dollars. FreshBooks new features include team member rates, which can now be managed from the My Team page, so you can charge different amounts for different staff. Add new team members as in different roles like business partner or basic employee or contractor, which gives them different permissions. That's nice. From payment reminders to late fees, you can automate as much or as little as you'd like and get back to doing what you love. Don't waste time sending out invoices. Get paid faster with FreshBooks. FreshBooks is free for 30 days when you go to freshbooks.com/MacBreak and enter MacBreak Weekly in the How Did You Hear About Us section. A nice bunch of guys from Canada and guys and gals. I like them. freshbooks.com/MacBreak. They saved my life. Honestly, now let them save yours. FreshBooks.com/MacBreak to try it free for 30 days. Duncan Sinfeld, who is one of the guys who flies drones over Apple Park, makes those great 4K drone videos, says, yeah, I think Apple is tightening up. He says he believes they're using a product like Dedrone, which is a drone tracking platform. He says, it literally, within 10 minutes of me launching a drone from anywhere around Apple Park, two white Priuses respond to my precise takeoff location. While this is speculation, my instincts tell me Apple's tracking all drones in the vicinity of the campus with sophisticated radio frequency technology. And, of course, it would make sense that as Tim and the rest move in and they get VIP guests, that they are going to want to have better security. It's interesting that Apple didn't stop them from doing overflights during construction, but it would make sense that they would now start to do that. So,
Probably because they didn't have anything to protect back then. Probably right. Also because they didn't have this really set up first. It's a growth industry disabling drones from remotely. And it's interesting that they have the solution that involves sending people out in Priuses, because there are other solutions that basically jams the signal whatsoever, putting the drone into either I'm just going to stay here and wait for further instructions mode, or I'm going to go back to base mode.
Everybody's covering James Comey's new book, A Higher Loyalty. Mm-hmm. And yes, he talks about Apple and other tech companies in the book. I don't know why MSNBC is not reporting this. Comey writes in the
book,
when it comes to crime, terrorism, and other scourges, the leaders of tech companies don't see the darkness the FBI sees. I found it appalling that the tech types couldn't see this. I would frequently joke with the FBI going dark team assigned to seek solutions. Of course, Silicon Valley types don't see the darkness. They live where it's sunny all the time and everybody is rich and smart.
He's right about the smart part.
Yeah. Okay. He also said, this is actually old stuff. This is not in the book, but that part was in the book. Higher Loyalty. And so he does write about the encryption thing and once again beats the drum for some sort of backdoor for law enforcement. And I think that battle will rage on, no doubt at all. iMovie for iPhone 10 has been upgraded to use metal.
Yeah, and it finally fits the iPhone 10. Finally.
Okay, no notch, huh?
No, I mean, like before it would just letterbox it, and now it's actually adapted for it. It's still not great because it has a notch safe area, and the notch, like something you have to deal with. You know, it's always there in your periphery. But the metal thing is great because it's better performance.
I don't mind the notch anymore. It's just part of the overall issue, which is the iPhone 10 screen just isn't that big compared to other iPhones, and I look forward to seeing what they do at the end of the year.
No, the funnest part about the notch now is watching like the Android community deal with phone after phone being announced with it, like the LG one today. Oh, look, the wallpaper is dark, but if we lighten the wallpaper, you can see there's a notch.
Well, the really big upset as in the Android community is that apparently Samsung has taken some patents showing new screens with notches, and of course Samsung didn't.
And ZTE has two notches, one on the top and one on the bottom. It's watch escalation now, Leo. Like one notch is not enough.
It's not your fault. Not your fault.
Nacho Friday.
Apple will repair your swollen Apple Watch Series 2 battery for free. Well, duh. Swollen batteries are bad.
Nice.
Yes.
Or it starts a fire on your wrist.
Even if it's out of warranty.
Same thing happened with Apple Watch 1.
Sure.
The original.
Anytime a battery swells, it's risky, but it could explode. So yeah. If you're wearing it on your wrist, it's even more important that you fix it.
And to be fair, a wrist is you're always bashing it against things. It's not it doesn't stay in a pocket. It stays exposed. So yeah. That's not a big fault as long as they acknowledge that it's not the user's problem. It's their problem.
A hint in the Apple source code. The code found in watchOS 4.3.1 hinting at third party watch face compatibility. Ooh, that would be nice.
If you click through, they sort of... So that's Guy Rambo from 9to5 Mac who found that. And then Steve Trotten Smith very, very nicely tweeted back going, I think that's been there for years.
Oh. Yeah. It's a log message that he saw, and Trotten Smith said, you know, this is that log message is not new. So don't get too excited. You can see it right here in the code. R3 equals, quote, this is where the third-party face config bundle generation would happen, end quote. Except that...
That just needs to change into actual code.
Yeah. All it's saying is that's where we'd put it if we ever had to put it, but we don't put it there right now, so...
It's such an obvious feature for it to happen that it's impossible to imagine that they wouldn't put that in, even with no direct plan to actually make it happen.
Yeah, if you're coding, you're going to put that stub there and just say, hey, you know, we'll
I still think they're worried about what happens to the battery life once they allow unlimited watch face design. So I'm hoping that at some point, just like Apple, after lots of bad press, decided to make the user decide whether or not the CPU should throttle down when the battery is about to go. I would love it if we had the opportunity to say, you know what, I want this little kitty cat shaped watch face so much that I'm willing to deal with 8 hours of battery life versus 10 or 12 because it's my watch and I like kitty cats.
As long as the tail wags back and forth. What was interesting
too is watching the reaction when the story came out, and there were a bunch of people just like, how would Apple deploy this? And some were like, oh God, please don't let it become like the Android market or like the other watch market. Others were like, yeah, maybe they could have a curated boutique. Maybe there could be templates. Maybe they're like, just what would it be, completely open season on watch faces? Like, get out your OpenGL and start writing. Or would it be like, you can have these constraints? Or would it be, you can't do lights. Like, you have to actually own Hello Kitty to make the Hello Kitty.
What if Apple released a little software tool, a watch kit maker for Xcode? And it would enforce its own rules. It would keep it, you know, safe, and battery life would be good. And then that's how you would do it. That would work. Yeah.
God forbid we let people be creative without rules. That would be horrible. Thank God.
That's the way to solve it. Let me design my own watch face.
I mean, it's absolutely true. There are watch repositories, not only people who write native watch apps for Android, but also there are like watch kits, like apps that will you can sort of script a watch face as opposed to developing it as a native app and then run it on this watch app platform. And yeah, so many of them are just stupid and terrible and horrible. But that is also makes room for people to make things that are awesome and unexpected and wonderful. And like I said, I don't think great ideas start with, you know, the thing is, I think creativity needs supervision. Designers are like children. If they don't have rules to go by, why, for heaven's sakes, the next thing you'll have people splattering paint on canvas and calling that art.
Andy, you make a good gatekeeper.
Well, they also have the option, like they let you do a photo now, and you can see foreseeably in the future, you could upload your own photo, upload your own, like choose which complications you want. Maybe choose from a variety of hands and sort of let, you don't even have to be a developer anymore. It's democratized to the point where any user can make their own watch face.
Watch faces are really interesting things. Like, what if you have words that are spelling out and make really cool transitions? And again, what if you have a kitty cat who, and it sounds like I'm making fun of it, but this is why we have multiple watches. Sometimes you really like checking the time, and as soon as you turn your wrist, you see a kitty cat who's napping suddenly wake up and look at you with a really, really cute expression on their face while you look at the time. You can't do that. It's nice that
Quartz
you can
Composer
put a
for Apple Watch.
But yeah.
Well, I know what you all be doing on Sunday, you overachievers. You'll be exercising because Apple Watch has a new Earth Day Challenge. 30 big minutes of exercise will get you the new Earth Day badge. How many badges do you have, Renee? You keep getting badges.
Oh, I don't know. I lost a ton of mine because I switched phones that my Apple Watch was on.
Oh, no.
Well, no, because Apple Watch in Canada only works on Bell, and my main phone is Rogers, and I was keeping a phone just to have the Apple Watch. I couldn't. Well, because I wanted the LTE feature because I was testing it and I was doing things. So I got a Bell SIM and I just ran it, but it was never my main phone. So now I've synchronized everything, and I think I lost a lot of stuff.
You shouldn't lose your badges. They should be tied to your iCloud account.
It's so painful. Let's see.
Man. You know, once flexible OLED displays thing, you can actually like have a sash that has your buttons on, like in the Girl Scouts or the Boy Scouts. And then you'll never.
Wow, they're more colorful in Canada. Those are pretty. Or maybe I just haven't seen all the badges available. Those are beautiful.
What's a great idea.
What do your medals mean, soldier?
Thanksgiving Day challenge is one of them, and what's some of the
is
other ones?
Is it usually just 30 minutes of exercise? I guess they don't want anybody to have a heart attack.
Like some you have to do like a week. You have to make your goals for a week. The Veterans Day challenge was 11 minutes, I guess, because November.
11, yeah.
International Women's Day challenge was doubling your move ring on March 8th.
Oh, that's neat.
The ring in the new year was to close your rings for every day for a full week.
Well, Sunday, let me see. I don't know where I'm going to be. I will be somewhere in Japan on Sunday. Oh, I'll be in Osaka. I'll make sure to turn on my watch walk monitor and I'll take a walk. I will be walking. Actually, I'll be walking a lot.
Well, it does not count Shinkansen time, Leo. So if you get on the bullet train, you have to actually do your own walking.
No, we're doing a walking tour of Osaka on Earth Day. So,
oh, that's brilliant.
And it's supposed to be 80 degrees. So I'll probably be racking up the miles, probably 5 miles easy.
What are you going to be? What camera are you taking, Leo?
I am really in a quandary, in a conundrum. which I hope I will resolve before I leave. I have, you know, this beautiful camera that Lisa gave me, my Sony A9, and which doesn't have a huge amount of lenses, but I have three really good lenses that I could take. So that would be a kit, but it's heavy. Every time I carry it on my hip and I get sciatica, and I'm such an old man. So then I also have a very lightweight. I have it right here. And I really like this. It's very lightweight. It's small. It looks like a tourist camera, but it's a nice Leica Q. But it's only 28 millimeters. It doesn't zoom or anything.
Mm.
But it takes really lovely images. But yeah. This I could carry, you know, I would look like a tourist, like dad with his old brownie around his neck. I'll have to tape over the red dot. That's kind of...
Oh, la pot's on you, tourist.
And then I'm trying to decide, well, do I really need a laptop? Because really, everything I want to do, I have the dongle to import photos. It'll import RAW onto the iPad Pro. I've got Lightroom on there, which means it'll back up, because it's Lightroom CC, back up to the Lightroom Cloud. So I'll have a backup. I can do the triage really quickly on the iPad. I can even do photo editing that later gets copied to my desktop and to Lightroom and the RAW. So all in all, I could pretty much do everything I need to do photography wise with just an iPad.
Yeah.
I'm so tempted, and yet, you know, they don't have computers in Japan, so if I don't know.
You know. You got to take your iMac Pro in the satchel.
Yeah.
You've got to take a red camera, at least one red camera.
You know what I did get though, and because I was told, you know, don't expect Wi-Fi everywhere. I got one of these little Skyroam LTE devices, $8 a day, unlimited internet via LTE for five different devices. So I'll have a report back on that.
Japan was like Korea, where
I thought so too. I thought, oh, internet, it's gonna be easy. No, apparently it's pricey, and most coffee shops don't do it. And you know why?
Because like, so fast you'll finish the internet.
Great, yeah.
They have such good LTE, nobody needs Wi-Fi. Is my guess, but I don't know. I will find out. This works in Japan. It works in 140 countries.
So do you have to get an NTD.comO SIM, or is it just roams for you?
Roams.
Oh, nice.
120 countries as is, out of the box.
And that's it. That's you just pick, you activate a day, or it charges you $8 a day, no matter
what.
You
buy day passes. So when I bought it, I bought 15 day passes for $8, and then more day passes, I think, are $9. But you don't. There's no subscription fee. So that's what I really need. It's something I don't pay for until I need it.
That's awesome.
By day. And $8, $9 a day?
I need to look at that.
Yeah, I just did my pick of the week, unfortunately. That's the Skyroam Solus.
Yeah.
Put a clock on it and wear it as a necklace. That's what I would do.
Yeah, like this. Oh, that's actually not a bad idea. I'll look like Flava Flav.
Yes, totally.
Is it Flava Flav that weighs the giant clock?
Yes. Oh, yes. Absolutely. It's Flava Flav.
My hip hop is not as good as it used to be.
Oh, dear. Yes.
It would. I'll just pretend this is a new American style.
It's a bolo tie.
Or they'll think you're under some sort of like a
house arrest.
a limited prison release. That can work in your favor too.
Let me just see if I can. No, I can't quite.
No,
it's big because it's got a. This is the other thing I was looking for. I had a MiFi before, but they died after 6 hours. This gets 16 hours because that's why it's so big. It's got a big old battery. You can even charge your phone if you needed to. But I'll just carry it in my jacket pocket like that.
Or just getting your ear pierced. dangle it after that.
Well, speaking of picks, let's take a break and get your picks of the week, gentlemen. Mac Break Weekly, Renee Ritchie, iMore.com, Andy Inatko, Inatko.com. Our show today brought to you by Active Campaign. If you have a growing business and you want to grow more sales, stay in touch with customers, get them to participate, engage with your business, you gotta get the right type of message to the right person at the right time, and that's what Active Campaign is all about. It's so much more than marketing automation. Now, we all know the email newsletters, even messages on websites. We know that that really works. People open emails. The open rate on emails is really good. Marketing emails are fabulous. But if you're sending blast emails out, you're not maximizing the value of those emails. Active Campaign smart tools let you dynamically show, get this, different content in your messages to different people based on contact information, interactions, social data, interests, completely customized. You can send personalized messages, whether they're on your website, browsing their inbox, even if they're out and about on a mobile device. It's really easy to do with drag and drop campaign building, so you can make beautiful campaigns. And here's another thing you're going to love. A-B testing. Only it's not A-B testing. It's A-B-C-D-E testing. Up to 5 different versions with their split tests, which means you can figure out which content, which layout, which settings, even which colors really resonate with your subscribers. Make your newsletter sing. Of course, you have multi-user editing, so more than one person can help. Revision history. You've got integrations with lots of apps, including Google Analytics. You've got conditional content. You've got geo-tracking, site tracking, social sharing. It's mobile optimized. And with Active Campaign, you get free image hosting too. Identify, nurture, convert, and retain more customers with Active Campaign. If you've got an email newsletter, you need Active Campaign. And now you can try it free for 2 weeks. Go to activecampaign.com/twit. Activecampaign.com/twit. Actually, you get more than just the free trial. You get a second month free. You get 2 free one-on-ones with their platform experts so that they can help you maximize the value. You even get free migration from your existing newsletter. Start your free trial now. Activecampaign.com/twit. If you're sending out an email newsletter to your customers, you already know those people who sign up, those are the people who care the most about your business. Get the most out of it with Active Campaign. Activecampaign.com/twit. Well, you saw my pick of the week. Although it's not really fair to call this a pick of the week because I haven't used it. Well, I used it for a little bit to set it up. But I will have a much better appreciation of this after I get back from Japan. So I'll give you
it was a teaser. We got a teaser today.
Teaser. What do you got, Renee?
So, yeah, like I said before, scratch my surface and you find more surface. I am just this superficial. You can get the space black versions of Apple accessories now a la carte. Yes, I did.
You know, I got the mouse and the keyboard with my Mac Pro, so I don't have a gray trackpad. So
me too. So I went out and I bought as soon as it came into stock. And it is lovely. And yes, it even comes with a space black lightning cable. I mean,
oh, you get the cable too. Wait a minute. Do you get the black Apple logos stickers?
I don't think I didn't look. Oh my
what?
God.
You're nuts. That's the most valuable part of all.
Oh, I know now. Oh, I feel like a complete noob now. But I mean, there is a tax. I think it's like $10 more. It's like $100 more Canadian. That's not really true, but it feels like it. But there is like the same as the old BlackBook tax where you do pay it. But I have a black MacBook Pro and I have a black iMac Pro, and I really don't like Apple's mouses. I don't think from the original Lisa, I don't think I've ever had a mouse from Apple that I liked. And so I really prefer the trackpads. It does all the gestures, and you can actually use it while you're charging it, which is great.
I kind of got used to it from the laptop, and I do now, even when I'm at my iMac Pro, I want to be able to, like, the 3-finger swipe to go to the next screen and stuff like that is really handy.
And I'm a designer. I use it for Photoshop. I use it for Illustrator. I use it for Final Cut. I use it for everything. I've never found anything that I really need. Oh my God, where's my mouse? Never happened. So I'm super happy with it.
Right.
Also not a gamer. So if you're a gamer, maybe you think I'm full of, nonsense. But for me, it works really well. Super happy with it.
All right. It's now out. How about you, Andy Inatko? What do you got?
Uh, this little to-do sort of timer reminder for macOS that lands in the menu bar. And the reason why I love it is that, number one, it's really, really simple. But B, the interface for it, you just grab onto the icon for Jestimer.
Oh, look!
In the menu bar, pull it down. And the further
it's like
you pull
a pull-to-talk string.
Exactly. And the longer you pull it down is the longer the reminder will go. Then when you let it go, you can type in a description if you want, or if you do nothing, it'll just simply time out after a few seconds. And then you just get a reminder for an hour and 30 minutes, an hour 27 minutes, whatever. You can have multiple reminders going. It's just such a cool interface. And it's exactly for the reason it's so well tailored for how I use these sort of like timers and reminders, where I don't want to like open up do a key sequence and open up a window. All I want to do is make sure I don't get so lost in writing that I forget that in an hour and 20 minutes I need to leave for this thing. I don't have to window like, do you want to recur? Do you want this reminder to recur? Do you want, where should I be also text you? It's like, no, just a dingbat pops up on my screen saying, hey, moron, remember that you've got a dental appointment. You got to go. And it's such a simple analog way of setting that. And it's $4 damn. And I would have given him $5 just to thank, just as an appreciation for this really cool user interface thing that is just so nifty. It does one thing, but it does it so well. You just sort of really enjoy using it.
No, I just love that interface. It's hysterical.
It's almost like pull to refresh, where it's like, why did nobody ever think about this before? Because it is exactly the way that this should work.
And I guess I should do a second pick, or at least a reminder. Pull my Jest timer. Thank you. Reminder that tomorrow you'll be able to get Drafts 5. What he's done is very smart, because this Drafts had a barrier to entry, which was you had to buy it. It was, what is it, $10? It's not cheap. And Drafts 5 is free, so you could try it for free. And then he's going to have a subscription to Drafts Pro, which will be $2 a month or $20 a year if you want the full Pro features. Lots of new features, including Siri integration, so I don't have to use that Siri reminders hack anymore. I could just go directly to Siri. We've talked about this ad infinitum. It's my favorite app for the iPhone and the Apple Watch. If you haven't tried it and you were maybe saying, well, I don't know if I'll like it because I don't want to have to buy it. Now, starting tomorrow, you'll be able to get Drafts 5 for free and see if you like it. See if it's worth it. Drafts 4 apparently is going to continue. He wants to just have two versions. I'm not sure. It's still be supported and available, I guess, because people bought it, and so he feels obligated to continue to support it since you spent money to buy it. But it is I don't mind giving him all my money. He deserves it. Agile Tortoise has made a crazy useful app. And what I like about it is it helps me keep my promises, basically. I feel like everything I agree to do, I just do it. I put it into Drafts, so that way I just remember that I said, "Oh yeah, I said I'd do that. I said I'd do that." And it's not just to-dos; it's just everything. And that way, you really can kind of, you know, get your integrity up in your life. I like it a lot.
No, and not to pretend I'm Georgia Dow at all, but the minute you put something, you take it out of your brain and you put it down, you know that you've written it down. All your anxiety goes away. It's like you don't have to keep it in cash anymore. You've written it to the system, and you can just relax because you know it's there and safe.
It's really for the GTD. You could do the GTD methodology in it. It's that inbox that you just dump everything into, and you always have it. And I really like it. It's only $3.99. It's not that expensive for Drafts 4. $3.99. Boy, buy that if you want. But yeah. Tomorrow, Drafts 5 comes out, and I will be doing the yearly Pro subscription for sure. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. We do Mac Break Weekly right after iOS Today, which, unless Leo shows up late, should be roughly 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern time. That's 1800 UTC. I will not be here next week or the week after, but the show is in good hands. I know Andy and Renee will be, and I imagine we'll bring in some extra support. I can't remember. What are we planning to do, Karsten?
Andy will be hosting 1 week, and Renee will be hosting the week.
Perfect. Andy does 1 week, Renee does the other week. But they'll both be here. But somebody has to lead the show, and then maybe bring in Jason or some other people and make a party out of it. So tune in, 11 a.m. Pacific, and you can watch next Tuesday and every Tuesday for Mac Break Weekly. You can also download on-demand versions from our website, twit.tv/mbw. all of our shows there. We've been doing this show for a little bit of time, 606 episodes. You can get each and every one right there. You can also stream live if you want at twit.tv/live. If you do that, join us in the chat room, irc.twit.tv. Best thing to do, though, get your Overcast out or your Pocket Cast or whatever you listen to podcasts on and subscribe so you get every episode the minute it's available. Thanks for listening or watching or whatever it is you do, and we'll see you next time. But now, I'm sorry to say, it's time to get back to work because break time is over. Bye-bye.